This is your 1017 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
A teenage boy from Milwaukee faces charges for allegedly shooting and killing his girlfriend. Cash bond is set at $100,000 for 17-year-old Javier Smith. He faces one felony of first-degree reckless homicide and one misdemeanor of firearm possession under the age of 18. Video from a Milwaukee County transit bus shows Smith shoot 15-year-old Azoria Jones in the chest while they are walking near 75th and Silver Spring on September 21st. Smith admits he shot Jones but is pleading not guilty to the misdemeanor. If convicted of both charges, Smith could face up to 74 years in prison.
Wisconsin health officials have released a new statewide suicide prevention plan. The Department of Health Services says the plan is designed to increase the effectiveness of suicide prevention efforts by providing data along with best practices, resources, and recommended action steps. The state suicide prevention plan is updated approximately every 5 years, with the goal to reduce the number of people who attempt or die by suicide in Wisconsin. Health officials say anyone who needs support can contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. A proposed Microsoft data center getting approval by the Caledonia Plan Commission. The company plans to build the facility on 244 acres just west of the We Energies plant in Oak Creek. If approved, this would be Microsoft's third data center in Racine County. The Caledonia Village Board plans to discuss the project at its meeting on October 14th.
This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 1017 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, want to remind you that you can stream and watch us live on YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell. Tell all your friends. Here's what I want to challenge you with. I want to get about, what's a good number? 500 more people. So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody within my listening voice to tell five friends, hey, go to 1017thetruth.com, go to YouTube, 1017thetruth.com, go to the show, subscribe, and hit the notification bell, just like you heard, so you never miss a live show. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So I was reading the news, you know, because I'm a news junkie. Like I tell people, I kind of overdo it. I'm the opposite. I guess I'm the opposite of Gen Z. Gen Z doesn't do any news. And when they do, they get it off TikTok, which is kind of weird. I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't trust any social media for news unless it came from a legitimate news source. Like, you may not like ABC or Fox or CNN or MSNBC, but at least you know they have trained journalists that are writing. It may be biased, but at least you can get the gist of the story. And you recognize bias when you hear it. How many kids? So first of all, Dr. Brenda Kaselius said something that nobody else thought about. Or better yet, you may have thought about it, but you didn't say it. We lost about half a classroom in some of these schools that have low, you know, low numbers in classrooms, like 15 or 20. Like, we lost half a classroom this past summer, this year, to gun violence. In the past couple days, we've had how many juveniles? And when I say 17, I really don't care that the state of Wisconsin said if you're 17, you're an adult. I think that's ridiculous, but it's the law. You know, they got scared of black folks in the 90s, so, you know, they had to change laws just to lock us up. But they did it. And that's probably not the reason, but hey, sounds good. And so part of my issue is that we did have, this will sound weird, we did have adults killing or accidentally killing children. That's unconscionable. But now we have children killing children. Like, in the last couple of days, we've had an 18, a 15, a 13-year-old die, a 17-year-old. But when you're telling me that the person that killed the 13-year-old is a 15-year-old, and then the other day, I think it was on the South Side, I'm not sure, the 19-year-old woman stabs and kills the 18-year-old man. I don't care what you say. When I hear teen in your name, I don't really think about you as being an adult. The state does, but I don't. My question is, was anybody in their family, in their life, in their sphere of influence, in a position or a place to see what they were doing and stop it? We have gotten to a point where we just do not care about anything or anyone that's not us. And depending on what the family member does, we don't care about them either. That is bizarre to me. That is strange. Something's going on. Somebody has to step in. We have gotten to a point where we want everything so positive that no one will say, hey, stop that. No, you can't do that. We just constantly let people do what they want. Well, I don't want them to feel bad. You pile on top social media with likes and clicks, impressions. And you have to be careful. You'll fall in that trap too. Everybody liked what I did. I got a story later that talks about the FAMU football game where somebody said something, an announcer said something, and people got offended. But then I listened to what he said. Number one, it was funny. But number two, it was true. We are having children killing children, I believe, because they're soft. We don't give them any procedures, techniques, tactics on how to be tough, how to be resilient. That story the other day from The Root talked about, we raise girls to be strong black women, resilient, self-assured, self-aware. Boys, we mollycoddle them and tell them, call them little man. You're not a little man, you're a little boy. And now we have an entire generation of black men who act like boys, black boys who act like boys, and they're all emotional. I can't believe you said something to me. It hurt my feelings. So, be tougher. Anytime you let someone else's words
alter your feelings and you're not like in love with them, there's a problem. I like the person. We got into an argument. Boyfriend, girlfriend. She stabs him and kills him. 15-year-old playing with a gun. Tucks the gun under his arm. Probably either accidentally pulls the trigger or has a gun with no safety or didn't know how to put it on. Shoots her and kills her. And then says, quit playing, get up. And when she doesn't get up, does he call 911? No. But how many people are going to say we have to have leniency for this 15-year-old? We got to do something about it. Oh, my God. They're locking up a black kid. Well, guess what? Don't do the crime. And sometimes situations and circumstances put you in a place where you can't get out of. But was anybody in a position? Was anybody in a place to look at them and see what they were doing? A simple, where are you going and what time are you coming back? To stop what they were doing. To tell them, no, don't do that. So now we have children in Milwaukee over the last week or so who've died. No protests, no problems. You need to tell your children and your grandchildren, no is a complete sentence. My suggestion to you, use it.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Is it time for a citizen watch in Milwaukee? Like the way we used to have where not necessarily a block watch, because a block watch is like, you know. But is it time we have like volunteers drive around and check out what's going on in the neighborhood and call it in or have a radio and say, hey, Glenn over here with an ESPN hat on, we need to come get him. He need to put on a 620 hat. He need to put on a truth hat. He need to like something. Like, I don't know. But something has to be done. We've got kids killing each other, and I'm not hearing complaints. I'm not hearing issues. I'm not hearing people getting mad. I'm not hearing, like, anything. What you just heard now is exactly what the community is doing. Nothing. Nothing. Not a peep. And when we thought somebody, when we heard on social media that's not even accurate, when we thought a cop shot somebody, we're in the street protesting, and half the people there have no idea what the heck happened. Half the people there have no information about what happened. It's all word of mouth. To burn down a neighborhood based on what you heard, not even from a legitimate source, but a friend that you trust, and we're going to march, we're going to burn buildings in Sherman Park, but yet a baby gets killed. A man gets stabbed over an argument. Cricket. I don't get it. Al, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I know this is going to get a lot of kickback. I think the only way you can do this is if a family or not a family, or if the child decides to be a nuisance within that community, they should be pretty much kicked out the community. And the only reason I say that, because you're going to have some parents who's doing right, and you're going to have some parents say, that's my kid, he ain't going nowhere. And what's going to happen is it's going to continue to bring the neighborhood down, because you have some people who have standards for the neighborhood, and you have some people who have the mentality to say, this is the hood, so this is allowed, should be fine. So I think the only way this is going to change is some of the neighbors and houses, which is a nuisance, they should be pushed out the neighborhood and go somewhere else where it's allowed.
Do you know of anywhere where it's actually allowed? Or is it just tolerated?
Let's say tolerated, because we know if they were living in Whitefish Bay, they wouldn't last that long.
Correct.
And I do know when it comes to the north side, and I know the aldermen and the police can't do everything because their hands is tied too. But certain things are tolerated in certain zip codes when it comes to certain zip codes, because there's a certain standard that is expected of you when you're in certain zip codes.
So we just had a shooting like last night, early this morning in Glendale. I remember maybe 6-8 weeks ago, there was like a homicide in Glendale or sometime during this year. It was springtime. Before that, we had a shooting where somebody went to the house and shot somebody and drove away, and they ended up catching the guy. It was a chase. What do you think Glendale's going to do about that? Glendale Police Department.
I think Glendale Police Department is going to be a little more proactive, because they really respect the people that live over there, because they really don't bring them a lot of drama, because even with some of the apartments or apartment building, you can walk right in the apartment building, right to the apartment door, but it's still an expectation and a standard that some of them still uphold over there versus when it comes over here is, got to deal with this today, or you might just have some people who just might not want to do right.
So you're saying that if you don't do right, take them out of the community.
That's the only thing, because what's going to happen is they're going to continue to stay.
Right.
They're going to continue to bring it down, and they don't really care, because a lot of times they're, I'm not going to say they're not going to work, but their priority is not having the standard. You know, so if they don't have that standard, they can move out to the rural counties where they can be country and do whatever they want. And then the house is not known for having police there 3 and 4 times a week. Because what's going to happen is they're going to continue to bring it down. And then once it gets so low, then they're going to say, well, here, let's gentrify it, because people have brought it down so much. And then the people who try, who are the homeowners, going to have to suffer. So before I get there, you got to get out the neighborhood. We don't care where you go. Wish you the best in all your endeavors and your journeys in life. And may you can shoot for the stars, and the sun is always shining on you on even the cloudiest days. But right now, some of them just need to be out the neighborhood, because they really don't care.
So then how do you feel about affordable housing? You know, we talk about affordable housing, but even if you move into affordable housing, there needs to be some level of buy-in, accountability, something.
Well, the thing with affordable housing is you have certain cultures and certain understanding that comes there, because the rent is so cheap, so they really don't care, because they might be paying, I'm just using this excuse, they might be paying only $100, so they really don't care. And it's so because you aren't really paying that much, you don't really have no standard. And I feel affordable housing, to me, brings a lot of affordable housing issues with garbage, loud music, unnecessary people who should not be on the lease. And then that's where it takes a ride over the whole neighborhood. I really feel like that should be on the outskirts somewhere, like downtown Waukesha.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I guess that's 2 days in a row. It's kind of difficult to argue it out. It's difficult not to see it that way. But if you have neighborhoods where you have to make the price of it high enough and where you have to allow the city council and the powers that be to tell people you can't move in this neighborhood if you cannot afford the house. If you're not building a house that's $300,000 or more without subsidy, you need to be able to pay for it. You can't move here. Now, somewhere we have in our DNA as black people, we need to take care of everybody. And I don't think that's so. I was talking to a class the other night that talked about the DNA of white people is to be so individual that when a white person does something wrong, they leave that person out there by themselves. Or they say it's mental health or whatever. Like, they come up with a reason why that person should be separated from us. They have a mental health issue, not us. But then the flip side to that is when the white girl on the train who's from Iran, who's got blonde hair, gets stabbed by a black guy who actually has mental health issues. They call him an animal and he's evil. But if a white guy does it, he has mental health issues. So we've got this double standard. And when black people step up and say, hey, I have something nice and I don't want to lose it and I don't want you breaking in my house and I don't want you tearing up my car. And I don't care who you are, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native, it doesn't matter. I don't want you lowering my property taxes, lowering my property value, so you can't move here. And it doesn't help when you have people who buy houses and then rent them to people. We need neighborhoods. And I don't care what the aldermen say in the city of Milwaukee. Tell me what you think about this. Should we have neighborhoods where you can't rent? You have to buy. Should we now have a neighborhood where you cannot have a secondary owner in this house? If you don't live in this house, we're going to cancel your mortgage and you get thrown out. Because we're at a time now where we have to stop this nonsense. Now, if you want to have a place that you can afford, have an affordable house for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and your mortgage is about $500 or $600 a month, I say yes. Go for it. But whoever came up with the idea, and I know I'm sorry because I know a lot of people that rent out houses and make good money, that rent out houses and they don't own in a neighborhood, it's really difficult. Really difficult to get them to be responsible because in their mind, they don't have to do anything. Miss Nikki, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hi, Dr. Ken, and thank you so much for taking my call and having this topic, right? I absolutely agree with you. Well, I don't know if you were saying you agree with it, but I totally agree that you there should be neighborhoods where you're not allowed to rent from. You know, being a renter at one point in my life to a homeowner and a landlord, you know, it's difficult, right? Because we already know, and I hate to stereotype folks, but I can only talk about my experience. You know, renters stick out like a sore thumb. They do. I mean, in regards to how they take care of the property and what they do, to create havoc, amongst the neighbors. They don't necessarily, you know, what I experienced, unfortunately, is that a lot of, you know, renters don't care. I live in a Sherman Park neighborhood, right? Very diverse, very mixed. And we all know this, that one block that you can go down, you can tell where there's majority homeowners. And another block, if you drive down, you can tell if it's majority renters. And it's just that it brings down your property value. I loved living in the city of Milwaukee. I didn't want to move to the suburbs. I wanted to live, work, and play within a 10-mile radius in which I do. But unfortunately, you know, when you get renters who don't care and you're paying and you're trying to, you know, keep your home value up and things of that nature, does make it difficult. So I do think that there should be some areas in which you cannot rent houses in specific neighborhoods.
Yep. I agree 110%.
Yeah. Thank you, Doc. Thank you.
Thank you. That's 2-0. If I count myself, it's 3. At some point, we need to stop this and take control of the city. There are areas of Washington, D.C., areas of Atlanta, areas of Detroit, areas of Minneapolis, areas of Los Angeles, Dallas, Denver, you name it. This neighborhood, you can't move in. We don't rent houses. You can do Airbnb when you're not there. But I got a house on my block where the person across the street from me Airbnbs that house every single weekend. She don't live there. And at some point, I'm going to start calling, going, hey, can we do this? Or can we as a neighborhood come up with a pact, have it signed, and say, you have 2 years and you got to be out of here? You'll start to control what happens in your neighborhood. That, Community Watch, I think we can do it. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. When we come back, YouTube chat, talking text, and you.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 35 minutes after the hour, 833-212-1017 is the number. I haven't looked at the weather. It is now 73 degrees. The low tonight is 61. Winds are from the north, northeast at about 8 miles an hour. Humidity 60%. Is it going to rain? It's like a 1% chance. Oh, I guess I'll say no. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me get to this talking text. Hey, Kwanda, how are you? S.E., not really a city girl. Sincere. Ronnie Ray Real. We can't say all that. We got to come up with a better name. It's too many letters. I can't count that high. Not really a city girl said, Dr. Ken, a show you did was clipped on a YouTube station. His name is, and he had some great things to say about your opinions in denouncing the African-American title. I remember that, and I actually saw that, and it's kind of pretty cool. she said, I'll be having a conversation with him today. So tomorrow I'll display either green or red flags. Oh, depending on what you say. LaRon said, it's bizarre that now we're realizing that everyone else doesn't care either, unless they have something to gain. Serena Williams saw a cotton plant in her hotel hallway and felt some kind of way about it. Like what? She said it was over money, allegedly. Oh, you must be talking about the stabbing. Anyway, why would you care about seeing a cotton plant now? Because slaves pick cottons and those of indentured servitude and all that. Okay. I get it, but there are a lot more things that are significantly more traumatic than a cotton plant. Dimitri say, how you doing, Dr. Ken? We need a community watch, especially for reckless drivers. Well, here's the issue with that. The issue with reckless drivers is that you can't, as a citizen, call in a reckless driver and then have them written a ticket. You can only call and say they're driving, but remember they're driving. So in like 2 minutes, they can be a mile away. So, and the police have to witness the traffic infraction in order to write a citation for it. So it's one of those things. Melody said, toughen up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can hurt. Well, words can sting. It may not hurt you. You shouldn't let it crush you, but it is what it is. Demetrius says, since we're on the subject of housing, of renting and housing, how do you feel about Section 8 housing? Should it be eliminated altogether? I say no. I also say in order for you to be qualified for Section 8 housing, instead of trying to set up a subcontractor to come in and get a contract to train people about how to live in Section 8 and take care of their property, just have the government do it. Hire somebody to work for the government directly so that they'll do their job, and if they don't do their job, you can fire them instead of just cutting off the contract and actually tell people, these are the things you have to do to live here. Now, you know some knucklehead's going to go to court and try to sue, but it's not their money, so if you want it, this is what you're going to have to do. I mean, that's just me, but that's what I would say. Responsibility. You have to cut the grass. You have to water the lawn. You have to make sure the plants stay up. I mean, all that. Trash, sweeping, everything. Then you can stay there. Not really. City Girl said, Dr. Ken, will these types of deed restrictions only be in effect in black communities? See, here's the problem. Why do you care if it's only in effect in a black community? Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with black. It's about socioeconomics. And if you can't afford it, that's the issue. I get what you're saying, but not everything comes down to a racial disparity. Not everything comes down. Sometimes you need to take care of your stuff because it's amazing. Poor white neighborhoods look the exact same way. Smiley, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, Doc. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Blessing that you're sitting out here spreading the word. But let me say this. I know people, I mean, I've been a landlord, and I have rented out to Section 8 people. And like you said, you know, I did put some things out there in order for you to stay in my establishment. Those are things they had to do. Cut the grass, water, make sure the property areas was cleaned up. They had to do those things to make sure.
Somebody wants something. Somebody wants something. But take care of them babies.
She want her little baby doll.
Okay.
However, they did comply to those. You know, I feel like they know who is who, and how they operate as a landlord, and you're renting.
Mm-hmm.
People want to rent out your stuff. I say go check out their establishment before they come and lay their head and put on yours, because that's what I did. I wanted to make sure that anybody who rented, I went to go look. And if they wasn't taking care of their home in the right way, if they wasn't doing the things that they supposed to, the way that I wrote my standards, then they couldn't rent out. So, I mean, to each his own, and no, I wouldn't say take that away from people. I mean, you know, have people live in the hood or live in a nice area, because where I live at, they're building houses, like, throwing up, like, paper, honestly. And my house, I paid for my house in full and redid all the stuff myself. However, everybody's not going to be fortunate, but you got the people that still comes in the area that ain't been there, don't live there, that knows the people that owns their property, that starts up so much stuff too. So we do have those people that we have to look at the whole picture. And if we don't really do something, let's do something as far as doing it, get it back into the community and getting people on down. And let's not be mad about petty things. Let's be mad about our kids coming up missing. Be mad that the parents ain't walking their kids to the bus stop. Be upset that they, instead of them giving the bus company a stipend check to take your kids to school, they give it to the parents to get their butt up to take their kids to school. And at the end of the day, some schools that do
yeah,
that.
But Smiley, we're making assumptions as to why people can't walk their kids to school. And that may not be the case. They may actually have to work. They may have to do those. But I'm interested, before you go, I'm interested because somebody on the talking text line said, I like the idea of homeowners only, but will that create more segregation and discrimination? What do you think?
Honestly, it only creates if they allow it. Because you can live in the same... I'm from Chicago. So
Me too.
And I lived in every area where it was not only blacks, it was Hispanics, Puerto Rican, Asian. Listen, only way you create that atmosphere if you bring it around you and you don't accept what it is. And as long as the positive, you make the positive out of it and do right. Because I've seen it come to where people come together and make things happen. So it's all up to the individuals that live in the neighborhood and their establishment, how the way they do things.
All right. Well, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
All right. God bless.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, talking Texan. Good evening. No, you should be able to rent from anywhere you can afford. I own all my properties and paid rent in Mequon for the schools at $4,500 a month. And currently my building has a condo being offered at $12,000 a month. So no, I disagree. I get it. But guess what? You don't have a right to live in any neighborhood that you want. If you can't afford it, you can't live there. That's all I'm saying. This person went on to say, we tenants pay the mortgage, taxes, and property insurance for the landlord. Well, that's your issue being a landlord. I get it. That's the structure, right? And whatever the landlord chooses to charge for profit. So if you want to police who's renting in your neighborhood, ensure the rent is so high you disqualify people based on income only. That's not what I said. I said, don't be in the neighborhood. I'm saying you can't rent your house. It has to be a owner occupied or you can't. I'm not saying everywhere. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if a neighborhood decides that this neighborhood, these two blocks, four blocks, whatever, decides that you have to be owner occupied, prove it. And if you don't, something happens. I got no problem with that at all. If you don't like it, sell it. But that's everywhere. There are some neighborhoods you can't move into because you can't afford it. We try to make it, and in some cases it is, I understand. But we try to make it discrimination. We try to make it segregation when, in fact, you can't afford to live there. Don't want you in the neighborhood because it's been proven time and again. Don't take care of your property. No, first of all, let me have it. It ain't got nothing to do with renting. Nobody takes care of anything. I don't care who you are or how much money you make if you have no skin in the game. If you didn't put no money down, you're not going to care. One of the reasons why some kids don't care about college education is because they get a loan, they pay for it, and it's not their money. It doesn't click till after they graduate and they get that notice saying that your loan starts 6 months after you get out of school. Oh, we're going to help you find a job first. That's not what that's for. That's so they can get more interest. And there used to be a time where your school loan interest didn't start till you graduated. Now it starts the day you get the loan. That's how people are ending up with a $10,000 loan and owing $40,000. So all these things we talk about, it always comes down to money. But at some point, I want to live in a place where my neighbors take care of their house. They don't rent. I got people in the neighborhood on my block that rent, and you can tell. Everybody on the block, you'll get shamed by looking at other people's yards to make you cut your grass. Like that's how bad it is. You'll look at their grass, you look at your grass, and you'll stop what you're doing, go in the house. And I've done it. Get out the lawnmower and cut my grass and edge it. Okay, I'm good. Three doors away from me, their front yard is dirt. Because they've run it down and nobody cut it, nobody watered it, nobody went out and took care of it. And somebody's renting that house and they don't care as long as they get a check. And they tell the family there, oh, you got to take care of this. But I've never, ever seen a truck pull up. I've only seen a truck pull up when the house was for rent and they was trying to keep it pretty. Soon as they rented it, nowhere to be found. That's the problem. See, the problem isn't the tenant and what they can afford. It's the landlord. It's the people that own houses and make money, and they rent them to other people, and they only want profit. They don't care about that neighborhood. They're not vested in that neighborhood. They don't live in that neighborhood, and they don't care. They just want their rent money. And they're going to charge the maximum they can, and that's it. And the neighbors can complain all they want, and they don't care. I had a person look in my face and lie to me. Oh, no, I'm going to be living here. I said, how long? And then they paused. Oh, no, I'm going to be living here for at least 6 months. I said, are you selling it? Because I know you got to own a house at least 2 years before you sell it to for the profit not to be taxable. So they didn't. The only time they stay there is during times to say that they own the property, because somewhere they probably said it was their primary house, and they stay there like a couple weeks when there's nobody renting, like in the dead of winter. And then they're gone. It's sad, but we let them. And I don't care about anybody else's neighborhood. I don't care about if you're going to do it in a black or white neighborhood. I want it in my neighborhood. I want to be able to have my house double in value in less than a lifetime, in less than a generation. Because that's what I watch in most other neighborhoods. In some suburbs, if you build a house and the house isn't a minimum of X square feet and you're not charging, they have an ordinance that says that if you charge, you have to charge at least X amount for your house per square foot. And that's why all the houses are around 100,000, I'm not 100,000, are around 1,000 or 1,100 square feet. Because the bigger the house, the more you have to charge. So your $400 a square foot at 1,000 feet, your house is $400,000. And if you can't afford a $400,000 house, you can't move into that neighborhood or that city. And I think that's something that we should start in some neighborhoods in Milwaukee. It can't go below a certain number. Now, that number might be $100 a square foot. But we got some houses that are like $50 a square foot. People are getting houses for like $60,000, $70,000. Personally, starter house I think is great. I think it's wonderful as long as it's in the right neighborhood. I got lucky, even though I don't believe in luck. I got blessed and was able to move into Washington Heights in a nice bungalow. One story, worked out great. And then I moved to a bigger house, better house, what I think a great neighborhood. But that's what you use it for. People making money off renting houses to other people, I got a problem. You want to rent an apartment building? Knock yourself out. But people are renting out these houses and taking advantage of the process, which I'm not mad at. I get it. You're making money. You're the landlord. But when you don't take care of your stuff, I think your neighbors should come after you and get you thrown out. I do. I think you should get thrown out. Because now you're making it bad for everybody in the neighborhood. And when you don't screen your tenants better, other people pay for that. Because you're getting rent, so you don't really care what the other people are getting in their house. And the problem is you have people that actually do rent houses, do take care of their houses, do, you know, remove the snow, trim their hedges, and make everything look great. They're probably not in Milwaukee, though. They're probably not. They talk trash and all this stuff. Where you live, Glendale? Where you live, Brown Deer? Where you live, Greenfield, Greendale, Oak Creek, Cudahy? I get it. I get it. Because if you didn't, your neighbors would call the owner of that house and say, either you need to get them or we're going to call and complain to the city every single day. And it'll be a different person each day for like a month. And you get it. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, top five at five up next.